James chapter 5. I'd like to look at verse number 16 and focus in on the latter part of that verse, where the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sunday we looked at Jehoshaphat and how that he prayed to God, and not only did he pray, but the singers sang. And one of the things they sang about was the fact that God is good, His mercy is everlasting. And when God is praised and honored and prayed to, oftentimes He responds in ways that are unbelievable. I mean remarkable and marvelous. Of course, Jehoshaphat found that God won the battle for him on that day. He didn't have to fight. All he had to do was take his position and watch God move and God work. And God won the battle. Oftentimes, if we will pray, trust the Lord, and get our lives right with the Lord ourselves, we'll find God intervening in ways that we never imagined. God is able to do that. Sometimes we don't have to fight our battles. If we'll just honor the Lord, God will fight the battles many, many times. And so tonight I'd like to talk about prayer and some things to pray for your children. Some of you, I look out across the congregation tonight, some of you have children, some are grown, some have children themselves, you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And I know that your children and grandchildren have been on your heart and still are, as mine are on my heart. And it thrills us to see God using them. It thrills us to see our children, our grandchildren go into the ministry or some type of service for the Lord. And only God can do that. And so we want to pray and ask God to help us in the raising of our children and then directing them into the paths that God wants them to take in life. So, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In all probability, we do not pray for anything more fervently or more diligently or more desperately than we do for our children. Can anything evoke that same level of passion as praying for their salvation, their well-being, their character, for them to be used of God? But beyond praying, like, well, God, keep my daughter safe, or Lord, please help my son stay out of trouble, or dear Father in heaven, just help me be a good parent today. What are some of the petitions we should be lifting up to our Heavenly Father on behalf of the children that He has given us? And I want to suggest just a few tonight. First of all, I would like for us to consider fervently praying for godly wisdom for our children. 1 Corinthians 3:19 tells us, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Romans 12:2 instructs us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we are to pray, and I trust that we are praying this way, that our children will have godly wisdom, not necessarily worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. And James 1:5 promises that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, if you don't know what to do, God will not criticize you or scold you or demean you for coming to him and asking for wisdom. If you don't know, God will not get angry if you ask him to help you, and he has promised that he is able to give you wisdom. You remember Daniel? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, Daniel tells us that while he was speaking and praying and confessing his sin and the sin of his people, I'm glad the Bible is true, and I'm glad that's in the Bible, because you would think that a man of Daniel's caliber would not have any sin. But Daniel said, I was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel. And it was while he was in the process of praying that Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, being caused to fly swiftly, came and touched me, he said, and told me that he had a message for me. He said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Verse 22. At the beginning of thy supplication, the angel tells him, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. God is able to give wisdom. Ask God for your children to receive a liberal application of godly wisdom. And as we think about wisdom, think about having a wise wife. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, speaking about that godly, virtuous woman, she was reported to have opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue was the law of kindness. So pray for personal wisdom, whether you're a man or a woman, boy or a girl. And whether you're an adult with children, pray that God will give your children godly wisdom, wisdom not only for their young years, but for all of life. We need God's wisdom, don't we? We really do. And then secondly, pray for them to have character. This may not be an easy prayer for parents to pray, since we all know how character is developed many times. Character is developed through trial. It's developed through trouble, through testing. In Romans 5:3-4, we read, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Glory in tribulations means actually rejoicing in suffering. Now, is that hard to do or not? It really is. We rejoice in suffering not because it isn't painful, but because we know that God uses difficulties to build our character. Problems we run into will build our patience, which in turn will strengthen our character. In 1 Peter 1:7, Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Over there in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. As hard as it is for us to see our children experience trials and troubles, we know that challenges, disappointments, and even heartaches will help them to grow into godly men and women, into the men and women they were created to become. So brace yourself and pray for God to develop character into the lives of your children. And while you're at it, you might want to ask for a healthy dose of self-control on your part to stay out of God's way while He's at work in the lives of your children. So many times, parents rush in to facilitate or to enable. A lot of parents are enabling children today in things they shouldn't be enabled to do. And bailing children out of problems that they shouldn't be bailed out of. I'm from the old school and believe that kids really, if they sow some wild oats, they need to know what it's like to reap the harvest. And so, pray for yourselves, pray for your children. And then pray for a spirit of excellence. You'll find this word in Daniel 6, verse 3. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4 tells us that they could find no error or fault at all in Daniel. Daniel had some because he was praying, confessing his sins just a moment ago. But Daniel distinguished himself above his peers because an excellent spirit was in him, and he had faults, but apparently nobody else knew what they were. He knew. Just like you and I know our faults, and maybe nobody else knows. I sure hope you don't know everything bad about me. But anyway, Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Daniel took that seriously. There were some things he couldn't eat. He didn't want the king's wine. He didn't want to eat the king's meat. He had his own prescription, his own menu that he wanted them to bring him. And he did not want to defile himself with anything that God had said was defiling to his body. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." How many of you on the job work as unto the Lord? A lot of people just work as men pleasers and just with eye service. As long as the boss is looking, you're gonna do a really good job. But you let the boss walk away. And I know a lot of people get really slack. And the workplace, you know, just really gets a little bit loose when the supervision is not there. But you know what? If you're a Christian, God wants you to always work heartily as though working for the Lord, because He's always looking. And our Lord deserves our best, doesn't He? And as a matter of fact, everything we do as Christians, His name is on it. If people know that we're Christians, they tend to evaluate, we'll say, religion, Christianity, our profession of faith. They evaluate what we do and connect that with our Lord whom we serve. And if God is worth serving, He's worth giving our best to. Pray that your children will give their best to everything they attempt to do, because they're Christians. Number four, pray for humility for your children. We live in a world that frequently admires pride and arrogance and self-righteousness, and yet James 4:6 tells us that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And in Matthew 23:12, Jesus promised this. He said, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Matthew 5:5 declares that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So pray that your children will appreciate their infinite worth as children of God, but at the same time, they will recognize that God expects them to walk with Him and with their fellow man in meekness and humility. Number five, pray that they'll have a desire to know God. You pray that they'll make the ball team. You pray they'll pass their test. They'll do well on their SATs. But is there anything we can ask for our children that will offer them more happiness, more fulfillment, more success than a personal, intimate relationship with their Creator, to be saved, to be in tune with heaven, with Christ Himself? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So pray that your children, above all things, will be saved and that they'll know what it is to walk with God. Ezra in 8 and verse 22 says this, "The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him." We're not strong enough to make the journey through life without the help and the presence of our Lord. Would you agree with that? And when we take time to put God first in any endeavor, we are preparing well for what lies ahead. Psalms 86, verse 11, we read, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Yes, God's been good. We have a reason tonight to praise Him, to worship Him. If we all got what we deserve tonight, we'd all be in the grave. We'd all be in hell, wouldn't we? We really would. So to fear the name of the Lord means to give reverence to God and to honor Him in every area of life, not only ourselves, but in our relationship with our children. In 1 Samuel 2:30, the prophet said to Eli, "Them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." It was in this area of life that the priest Eli failed miserably. Instead of rearing his sons to have a fear of God and a desire to know God, he permitted his sons to do some very evil things without taking disciplinary action against them. God said that Eli was guilty of honoring his sons above him by letting them continue on in the sin that Eli knew about. They continued to disobey God deliberately by cheating and seducing the women and robbing the people. And as a result, the Lord took the necessary disciplinary action that Eli would not take. 1 Samuel 4:11 tells of the death of Hophni and Phinehas, slain in the battle with the Philistines. They both died in one day. We need to be praying that our children will have that desire to know, and not only to know God, but to honor God in every area of our lives. Is there anything in your life, in your family, in your work, that you allow to continue even though you know it's wrong? That was Eli's fatal mistake with his children. And because of that, he became as guilty as those who were engaged in the act of sin. And Eli lost his own life in that judgment of God. Honor God more highly than anything else in your life. And don't wait for God to have to bring judgment against your house. Put a stop to the wrong behavior before God has to intervene. That's the message that Eli sends to all of us. Pray that your child will have a hunger and a thirst to know God more every day, and with an undivided heart to seek and to serve Him with total surrender and allegiance. Number 6, pray that God will give them direction. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Ephesians 2, 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Today we had lunch with Brother Joe Myers and my middle son Matthew and John and the family. Brother Joe Myers pastored Kerwin Baptist Church for 50 years. He's retired now, but he isn't retired because he's still preaching almost full time. He's going around preaching and helping churches. But he talked to me a little bit about his conversion and how that he used to, before he was saved, hang out with the wrong crowd and doing things that were really, really bad. But he said, preacher, he said, after I got saved, he said, immediately after I gave my heart to Jesus, I became uncomfortable with that crowd. And he said, I couldn't stand to do the things they did anymore. And I didn't even desire to be around them anymore. And when I realized what was going on with me, I just concluded that something has happened to me. Because the people I want to be around are not the same people I used to want to be around. God's done a change in my heart. And he said, I went to school and I saw some of the boys I used to hate. He said, I hate them with a passion. And he said, before I knew it, I had spoken to them and said, hello, boys, and waved at them and gave them a big smile. And he said, I said to myself, something really big has happened to me. Amen? And he was surprising himself at how he was relating to people and how different it was since he had been saved and given his heart to Jesus. Monday night when I went to Livingston, and again on Tuesday night, none of you probably noticed it, but Mr. Danny Harrelson was there. Danny was a man that had been living with Tina for 20 years without being married to her. And on Thursday night of a week of revival about 2-3 years ago, God really moved in that night and several people were saved. We were still there at 11 o'clock that night. And Danny and Tina had gone home and talked about it and then came back to church at 11 o'clock at night. And we were still there. And Danny walked in and said to Matthew, he reached out his hand. He said, "Pastor," said, "you know me." He said, "you know I've been living in sin." He said, "If I died tonight in the shape I'm in, I'd go straight to hell." Well, Danny and Tina both got saved that night. The next day, they got married. Monday night, I walked in the back door. Before I could get to the second pew from the back, he was down about middle ways, and he turned around and saw me. He jumped up out of his seat, and he ran back there and hugged my neck. He said, "Preacher, I just love you." He said, "I thank you for preaching." I asked Matthew about him, if it was real. Matthew said, "Well, Dad," he said, "he's been faithful in church. Every time the door's open, he's there unless he's sick. Tina's the same way. They're helping in Sunday school." Said, "Danny quit drinking." Said, "he even quit smoking." And he said, "They're different people. They're different people." You see, that's what God does. He gives you a new heart and a new spirit. And my friend, if you didn't get that, chances are you're not really saved. God says, I'll take that stony heart out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put a new spirit in you. And I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and my commandments and do them. You see, Brother Joe Myers didn't care really anything about walking with God or loving his neighbor or not running with the wrong crowd and all of that until the Spirit of God came into his heart. And then all of a sudden, things began to change. And he wasn't the person he used to be. Pray that your children at a young age will be saved and that they will seek God's direction and God's guidance in everything, and that by the time they make the big decisions like where to go to college or their career or marriage, that they'll be in the habit of following God's perfect plan every step of the way. The number 7. Pray for your children to experience some favor. What do you mean, preacher? In chapter 2 of Esther, many young women were brought into the palace to be prepared and presented as a potential bride before King Ahasuerus. Verses 8 and 9 tells us that from the moment she arrived, Esther found favor with all who saw her. And the king made her queen, which put her in the perfect position to save her people from annihilation. Luke 2:52 tells us that Jesus himself increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We've already mentioned Daniel, who had favor with the king of his day and was promoted. Esther, Daniel, Jesus, they all grew in favor with God and man. They were not bullies. They were not self-serving individuals. They were humble and godly, and they stood out in the crowd around them. There's nothing wrong with praying that your children will have favor with teachers and school administrators and coaches and eventually employers, as well as with classmates and teammates and co-workers, and that they will be liked and appreciated for who they are, that they will be real, they'll be genuine Christians, and people will notice that they've been with Jesus and he's made them the way they are. Number 8, for discernment. Pray for discernment. In 1 Kings 3 and verse 5, God gave King Solomon an open invitation to ask for anything he wanted. Solomon requested an understanding heart to discern between the good and the bad and to properly judge and govern God's people. And the Lord was so pleased with that request that he showered that ruler with riches and honor and elevating his name above all of his contemporaries and blessing him with a long and healthy life to boot. Pray that your children will have the understanding to discern between the good and the bad. Ask God to let them see as he sees, to be attracted to what pleases and glorifies him, and to be repelled by those things that displease him. And then pray for the right friends and spouse. The Bible is clear on what type of a person a believer should marry. What kind of a person? Another believer. But just because they say they're a believer doesn't mean that you ought to marry the first one that comes along. Even believers have different character traits, and there's a different chemistry about them. And, you know, I think God has a special person for every person. And if you'll wait on God's timing and you desire the right thing, God will give you the desires of your heart. Don't you believe that? We've already seen that to be true. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Pray that your children will value and be attracted to God-fearing friends, that your Father in heaven will pave their way with faithful Christians, that they will eventually find their way to godly mates as the Lord intends. Also pray for their future spouse's upbringing. When my three boys were young, they probably knew nothing about it, but I began praying for the women that they would someday marry. All three of my sons have godly wives. And, you know, and I wouldn't change a one of them if I could. God's been good. God's been good. I have some wonderful grandchildren. And I think it's good to pray that your future sons and daughters-in-law will keep themselves pure for marriage, that their parents will create a godly environment in which to raise them, that they will understand the Lord's perfect plan for marriage and for their future, that they will grow into the man or woman God designed each one to be. After all, they're going to be raising your wonderful grandchildren someday. So pray for them. Then finally tonight, pray that they'll have a respect for authority. If this generation had a slogan, it would probably be, no fear. Our children are conditioned by TV and movies and songs not to respect parents, not to respect teachers, not to respect school administrators or police officers or government officials. Today, in our modern-day society, it seems that rude is cool for a lot of people. And yet Romans 13 tells us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Pray that your kids will have the proper respect for everyone. You saw it on the news today in South Carolina. The 18-year-old woman who would not leave class as instructed by her teacher. And finally, the teacher calls for the school resource officer, and he came, and she still wouldn't leave. Keep in mind, this is not a 12-year-old. There are people in the Army and the Navy and the Marines and the Air Force, that's as old as what this girl was, 18 years old. And she would not leave. She would not respect the authority over her. But what you're seeing play out on TV is an example of how one person's disrespect for authority can escalate and the problems it can cause. In California, you probably saw today also the student who slammed the school principal, body slammed the school principal into the floor, and was pretty much having his way with the school principal until the school resource officer came and put a stop to it. Hostilities are going to get worse, church. I never thought I'd see the day when policemen's driving down the street and they see violence in the street. And they now have to decide whether or not to intervene. It hasn't been that long ago to where the automatic response would be to intervene and to stop the hostility, stop the violence. But I understand now that in many cases they're reconsidering. They have to stop and think, well, this, if I get involved in this, is this going to mean my badge? If I get involved in this, is this going to mean my job, my career, my retirement? I understand that Darren Wilson and his family are now in hiding to keep from being shot and killed because of the lie that was perpetrated from the president's office on down in Ferguson. If Wilson had allowed Brown to get his gun, he would be dead now, and there'd be nothing said about that. If it was to do over again, wonder what Darren Wilson would do. He's already heard on the radio that there's been a robbery. This man fits the description. Is he going to approach this man and confront him with whether or not he's the one who just robbed the store? Or would he say now, well, it was just a simple robbery. I'm not going to risk my badge, my shield, on trying to apprehend this man by myself. You see where it's going? The streets are going to become more violent. Because the leadership in America is not standing behind the policemen. Did you hear the news today that Iran is having a training course now and inviting many of the black activists in America to come to the meeting in Iran? And the subject is America's police brutality against the black people, Iran. And another word that was in the schedule of things to be discussed and taught was how to stand up against police brutality in America and revolution. If you think things are not going to get dark and dangerous in a hurry, you just hold on to your seats and be aware of what's going on around you. I think Jesus is soon coming. Before he gets here, things are going to be getting a whole lot darker. I believe he could come at any time. And so we need to be praying for our children and our grandchildren. None of these things that you're seeing on TV today would be happening in connection with police if people would just... I got the answer to it all. All they've got to do is just respect authority. If somebody gets falsely arrested, then, you know, if you don't have a lawyer, they'll provide one for you. And let it go to court and get off that way. You don't have to rise up and shoot police officers and get in their face and try to take their guns away from them and kill them. God doesn't tell us to do that. God tells us as Christians to respect authority. And so pray for your children and your grandchildren, whether they're in the footy pajamas or in the driver's permit stage, or you're praying for kids who have kids of their own. Remember that Philippians 4:6 tells parents, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us this time tonight as your servant to speak the words of truth that we feel need to be spoken at this hour. Please help us, Lord, to honor you in every area of our lives. And Lord, I believe these points we mentioned tonight are vital. May, Lord, our parents pray these qualities into their children. And Lord, would you honor them and honor those prayers as they rise into the heavens from bended knees. Help our nation, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would somehow orchestrate this nation turning back to you. Help us, Lord, to have that fear of God and to honor you, to love you, to walk with you, and receive the blessing that you want us to have. Please forgive our sins. And help us, Lord, to begin to walk that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.